Let's talk about Utah now in some more detail, because in January you announced the acquisition of these patented and unpatented claims covering the past producing Gold Strike mine in Utah, right near the Nevada border. That was a very significant acquisition and quite some time in the making, from what I understand. How did this all come about, Vic, and why was this area targeted?
Well, it goes back to the sinking feeling we had in 08 when the market went into a depression, and we decided to protect our capital structure. We decided to protect our bank account, and we said this is not a period of time to be spending a lot of money. And we decided to do research, to focus on some research, and I spent quite a bit of time in the Great Basin, which is Nevada and Utah in the past, was involved with a situation that went to production. And I liked the area, and the jurisdictions in that part of the world are, for the U.S., politically favorable. Certainly the geology has thrown up a tremendous amount of gold discoveries, and of course we decided at the outset with this company to be a gold explorer, although we wouldn't turn our back on good base metal situations. And so we decided to research eastern Nevada, in particular because of the Long Canyon discovery, which was made probably, I think it first started catching some attention in 07, 08. Of course, Newmont bought it out of Frontier recently in a $2+ billion deal. And we started looking for Long Canyon lookalikes along the border between Utah and Nevada. Engaged a geologist out of Denver who assisted us with a lot of this research work. And we decided to go on a Cook's tour going on a year ago. And the Cook's tour, with the information we had, took us into southwestern Utah, and for as much as anything else, educational purposes, we went to the old Gold Strike mine, which was roughly 12 pits spread over about 4 miles, a bit off the beaten track, but still road accessible. And it struck us being a pretty interesting setting, so we sent a landman to have a bit of research on it and determine what the status was of surrounding ground. It turned out that the old mine itself, which had produced 200,000 ounces of gold and a like amount of silver, was wide open, except for the patented claims. Mm-hmm. So we had trouble finding the patent claim owners because the person, the party that last consolidated the district, was deceased. All the people who were involved in it knew nothing about mining, so we were told. And we had to scour the U.S. to find all the patent holders. We were able to do so. And in the midst of negotiating for the patents, we decided to stake the old mine site. And negotiations took about six plus months to get all of the four patent holders, and in the midst of that, we did our staking. So by we just actually finished the last parcel of land in the past few weeks, because those people had some issues with respect to their own title, technical issues. So the package became whole about I would say 2-3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. I take it you're looking for near-surface extensions to those open pits, as well as higher-grade potential at depth, correct?
Well, we will look for the extensions to the pits. It would appear the historical cutoff grade from the information we've been able to obtain was approximately 0.33 grams, which in 1994 that they stopped mining and they stopped leaching in 96. But we all know that gold was sinking pretty rapidly at that point in time, and 0.33 grams wasn't worth very much. We feel there could be an opportunity for extensions between the pits. The information we're gathering at this point in time probably will tell us how much of a chance there is there. But our prime target when we went into this situation was to drill underneath the pits mimicking what has happened in the Carlin Trend and the Battle Mountain Trend in Nevada, where a number of the pre-existing pits or the pits that have been mined over the last few years have been explored to depth, and underground deposits higher grade have been found under these Carlin-type settings.
Mm-hmm.
That was to be our principal target, and I think still remains our principal target, but certainly now with gold north of $40 per gram, the material that may have left been left behind as waste may very well yield something. We will see. That will be part of our focus.
In all your research, Vic, what quality of exploration work was done with these past operators at the Goldstrike mine? Did you think they missed something potentially big here?
Well, they used the standard techniques of the 80s and 90s, and as far as we can see, the parties that were in there did a very good job. But they used, the drilling was probably 99% RC drilling, reverse circulation drilling, which is essentially hammer drilling. A hole produces rock chips.
Mm-hmm.
Attitude of geology, complexity, geological complexities are often lost. People are looking primarily for grade. Very, very few core holes. To the best of our knowledge, probably over the 4 miles, not any more than a half a dozen core holes. A lot of the RC drilling was quite shallow. Some of the core drilling that was most recently done was also shallow, not any more than 300 feet. The geological environment at which these deposits occur, and there's a string of them in there along about 4 miles, as I mentioned, the geology is very, very complex. It appears to be a package of rocks that collided into North America, into the North American Craton, now known as the Colorado Plateau, which is directly to the east of where we are, and units of rock, of crust that sailed out of the Pacific. And so the ground is very, very badly torn up from a geological perspective, which, of course, is good from the point of view of providing channelways, gold deposition, but very complex geologically. So we will need to do core drilling to sort out the many different structures that exist in this package of rocks.
Mm-hmm. So it's a process here of unraveling the geology, and who knows what you may find.
Exactly. And how deep was the historical drilling? There were some RC holes drilled in the last pass down as deep as 1,600 feet. But I think there was only 5 holes, and we think they were concentrated in one location.
Mm-hmm.
The whole district, and it was a district that dates back to about 1910, the whole district, we think, is prospective.
Mm-hmm. Well, as they say, the best place to find a new mine is near an old mine, right?
Precisely, precisely.
So you're in good hunting ground down there for sure.
Yes, in this instance, underneath the old mine. In fact,
yeah.
The old-timers that have been involved in it, some of whom are now in their 80s, they have been proposing deep drilling, looking underneath the existing deposits or the former deposits. They've been promoting drilling deep for probably the last 25 years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you have a wealth of information to go through here. You're getting some help as well, getting some good assistance from former managers of that Goldstrike operation.
Yes, very much so. We did, in fact, come across one individual who worked the mine, I think, from the beginning to the end for the two companies that were there.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't met with him yet, but it's on the calendar of events for the next week, month or so.
Yeah. What are your priorities with Goldstrike? Do you have sort of an exploration timeline here? What have you determined you need to do over the next 6 to 9 months?
Well, as you pointed out, compiling the data is the key. We've already taken there was some information compiled by the most recent corporate explorer that was in there. We think they left because their company was taken over. We are just on the verge of having all of that information unwound from some fairly obscure software. We've discovered maps which are now have now been digitized, and we've actually discovered that there's been a fair amount of geophysics done in the area. We haven't seen that information yet. And essentially what we do is put this all into a digital model and lay one set of data upon another set of data upon another set of data, which we think is probably a couple of months it's going to take to finish all that work. We have a fair amount of that subcontracted at this point in time. And after all that data has been fully assembled, we start picking our drill targets and come up with a budget as to how much monies we need to pursue the drilling for various phases probably 1, 2, and 3. And at that point in time, with our drill targets, we can go to permitting. And permitting on the patented land, which will come under the state regulations in Utah, which is a friendly jurisdiction for mining, should not be too difficult. Some of the outlying, the grounds we staked, of course, are on federal land, but they are on BLM land, which is, generally speaking, easier than Forest Service lands.
Mm-hmm.
So that part of the world, on the other hand, it's pretty hot in the midsummer, which the timeline could take us into midsummer, and I think we would probably defer drilling and because of access to water and so on, and it might be necessary to wait until September before we start drilling.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point in time, that's down the road a bit too far to make specific comment on.
Mm-hmm. But you'll be releasing some news, obviously, as you learn a little bit more from your present work on Gold Strike. You'll be releasing some news on that in the weeks and months ahead, correct?
Oh, very much so. And I think having a lot of information as to blast hole drilling in the pits and the drilling that was done between the pits and so on, hopefully we'll get to a position where we'll be able to even announce what we think might have been left behind the prior mining.
Yeah, interesting.
The mining was problematic in the area in that it was a little tight, and with gold price falling during the course of the mining, we suspect that the owners were not able to step back and mine this at as large a scale, perhaps, as it deserves.
Mm-hmm.
But the information that we gather and compile probably should tell us how to look at that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be great if we're in a position to announce that we can take a run at the surface mineable material as well.
Some companies spend hundreds of thousands of dollars or even millions tying up a land package. I have to say I'm impressed with how you've negotiated this particular deal in a way that has cost you zero stock and very little cash up front. Where did you learn those skills?
From making bad deals in the past.
Well, we all learn from our mistakes, right?
Yes, so. Yes. Learn from our mistakes. Well, one, as I alluded to earlier about keeping the company's capital structure in place so that if there are bad times, the company can still finance and survive. In the same vein of thought, we decided that at some point in time, because this the original target certainly is a deeper target, and if we were not able to come up with, after spending the requisite amount of millions that we intend to spend on the project, if we didn't come up with a go-ahead on something that looked like it was very serious and or was of middling results and we needed help, we felt that we should put together agreements that would stand the test of time and mm-hmm. not discourage another party from coming in and joint venturing us with us, it were that to be necessary.
Mm-hmm. So you've thought this out very carefully. You have, a very interesting plan moving forward, plus an exit strategy if need be.
always have to have an exit strategy. The best one, of course, is to sell the whole thing for several billion dollars, as Frontier just did.
Absolutely.
But sometimes Mother Nature doesn't provide a straight line on these things either.
But you're very excited about this. I know you're fired up about that particular project, and it could very well become a company-making project for Cadillac.
Well, it's one reads the historical papers from the parties that have been in there in the past, the geologists and engineers, they've always been very, very keen on having a harder look at the district than has been done to date.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they were operating when gold was one-third or less, one-quarter the price what it is today.
Mm-hmm.
$40 a gram has opened up a tremendous number of deposits to re-examination.
Mm-hmm.
A large number that have become economic
mm-hmm.
with the escalating gold price.
Mm-hmm.
We're very confident that gold is going to move even higher. There's we don't have too many reasons to see why expect it to go down.
I would agree. Yeah, it's looking very, very bullish. You know, for the foreseeable future, absolutely. To sum things up, Vic, what would you say separates your company from the many others out there that investors can choose to invest in? What's unique about Cadillac Mining?
I guess the old experienced managers that run the company.
Mm-hmm.
We are definitely not rent and management. We have a very large, each of us who are running the company, have a very large position in the company. In addition to that, we think we have a, pretty clear view of how to look to the future, how to strategize. We've learned from our mistakes. I'm not sure what else I can say. All we need now is some luck, I guess.
That always helps. You got a very attractive share structure, and you've got some excitement going on right now in northwestern Quebec on a number of properties, and plus you have the Utah project, so you've got different things going on here.
Yes, there's been a lot. The company's been very quiet for several years out of necessity, in part. By design, in part, but now we're embarking upon a pretty different and pretty buoyant period.
Mm-hmm.
I expect that we will have, well, obviously, even with visible gold, they're going to spend, as I understand, north of $1 million this year.
Mm-hmm.
And when we put all of our ducks in a row here and get going on what we're going to be doing, we'll be spending millions of dollars as well.
Yeah.
And we're always on the lookout for new situations.
Yeah. Very good, Vic. I think this is something that our listeners should certainly do their due diligence on. It's a very interesting opportunity. We appreciate your time here today. Any final message here for BMR listeners today?
Well, we like to thank those who got involved when the company was a nickel, and we've had, along with a number of other parties, a bit of a reversal in the last month or so, but I think the company from this point on looks like it's upward and onward, and if you follow closely what we're doing, I think you'll be very happy with what comes out the other end.
We appreciate your time here today, Vic. We thank you very much. We'll be following your company's progress very closely in the weeks and months ahead. We look forward to having you back as well in the near future here on BMR. Thank you very much, Vic.
Very good. Thank you.
You've been listening to a special audio feature on bullmarketrun.com with the president and CEO of Cadillac Mining, Mr. Victor Erickson, and myself, John Hallstein. We thank you for listening in here today. And at BMR, we bring you home run opportunities in the junior resource sector.